This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 436, recorded Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
With some snazzle today, right?
Well,
doing a little bit of attitude with that.
Well, it was something of a short show notes today, so I thought I would just, you know, stretch out the intro.
Yeah, put in some attitude. I like it.
I do want to thank, you know, an old friend of the show, though.
An old friend? Why's he got to be old?
Old as in long time.
Ah, so you're not saying that he's, you know, of, let's say, advanced age.
I don't know. How old?
But you're not saying that.
How old is the door-to-door geek?
He's a whippersnapper.
I don't know. I don't ask people their age.
Then you should assume whippersnapper status.
When people at work ask how old I think they are, I tell them 52.
Oh, that's not nice. I go with 25.
That's because I'm told that that is the average age of an employee in my office.
Ah, interesting. Wow.
Of course, the person I think is in their 20s was a little offended by that, but the people in their 60s were complimented, so I figured it balances out somewhere. But anyway, the letter that I got suggested that perhaps if we wanted people to contact us, the contact button on the website should perhaps be noticeable. It was at the bottom of the page, and I have moved it to the top of the page.
Ooh, but do you think that's noticeable?
One would hope, but also it's probably a good time. It has been a while since we went over the various and myriad ways that you can actually contact us. Remember, mm-hmm. We used to do it at the end of every episode, but we sort of fallen off and assumed that people already knew.
Or didn't want to.
Yes. So I'm going to, right now, remind people all of the myriad ways that you can actually contact us.
Yay!
One being going to androidbuffet.com/contact, which is linked on our main page. There is an email address that is, of course, podcast@androidbuffet.com, or I think pretty much anything at androidbuffet.com, because I think the whole wildcard redirects to me. Also, we still do have the Google Voice line that no one's left a message on, to my knowledge, except for somebody trying to get me to extend my warranty in some time.
And did you?
I don't know what warranty I was supposed to extend.
I don't either.
But that number is, of course, 2012-WENECA. That's 2012-WENECA. And, of course, if you decide that you don't want to send an email to us, you can always send one to Jerry himself. Jerry, do you want to tell people where they can find you if they can't find you here?
No.
Okay, then I will just forward all the emails to you.
Okay, cool.
If we get any. You can also, at any time, let's see, what are other ways? You can try smokescreen.
Smokescreen or smoke signals?
Smoke signals will do. How about heliograph?
I don't know what that is.
Morse code?
Via what? I mean, you can send Morse code via anything. Morse code is the language, not the medium.
How about via your telegraph?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure we could arrange something by post. If somebody sends us an electronic communication saying that they'd like to send us a physical communication, I'm sure we could arrange something.
Or GIFs.
We do have a P.O. box.
We do. And it's at a post office.
Yeah. It's where I register the domain so that people will not send letters to my house asking me to renew domains. Anytime you have a domain and you put something down, they just keep trying to get you to register with a registrar that's going to charge you $50 a year by sending you a spam email. Oh, look. I didn't know I had this on my desk. Anyway.
Neither did anybody else.
It's a micro USB power over Ethernet splitter. So you plug Ethernet into one side, and you have that has power over your Ethernet on it, and then you can charge a micro USB device.
Ooh, that's like the opposite of a PoE injector.
Yeah, it allows you to power something over PoE. I bought it to power a Raspberry Pi so that I wouldn't have to have power near wherever I deployed the Pi, but then my plans changed, so I'm now Pi-less. Well, actually, I have a stack of Pis, but for this particular plan, I did not end up executing. But over the weekend, I did get my secondary weather station back online.
Your secondary weather station?
Yes, the one that is in the woods.
All right.
But I've decided, since it keeps going down, that it is time to rebuild it. Unfortunately, the only way that I can rebuild it is to go to the woods. So I'm going to have to go back and bring a new Pi that has new software on it so that I can just deploy it so I don't have to hang around there working on it. I blame the people at the Weather Underground. They have changed their policies, and as a result, I'm going to have to move my weather storage elsewhere.
I'm sorry.
As of March 22nd, they were turning off all keys associated with personal weather stations on the old Weather Underground API. So I'll have to convert to the new API, but the new API doesn't allow you to get anything but data about your own personal weather station. It used to be that a lot of these services, if you contributed weather, that they would give you something for it. Like, they would give you access to information beyond what you themselves gave them. So now Weather Underground for me has become just a backup location for my data.
I wonder how many others feel the same way.
A lot if you follow the forums. And I may be misunderstanding it, but I've decided that it's time to build a more comprehensive weather system like the one that I have here in my home, which is run using WeWix. That's WEEWX. And therefore, I can not only send it still back to Weather Underground, even though I'm just going to use that as a backup, but I can send it to a variety of different services. And I can keep my own local copy that isn't a file that actually has visualizations and all the other fun stuff that I have here. I like graphs. Graphs are good. Do you like graphs, Jerry?
Only if they're nice graphs. If they're mean graphs, no.
Okay. So that was one of my projects. I also started to get, since I was in the woods for 12 hours, I started to get ready for when I will be spending some time there for the upcoming holidays. So...
upcoming holidays? What yeah. Holidays are upcoming?
Passover. I mention it every year at this time, and some other people have a holiday also. It's that funny one where, for some reason, a rabbit comes around and gives you eggs, even though rabbits don't lay eggs.
Well, if rabbits did lay eggs, they are unlikely to give you their eggs.
Well, not only that, the eggs appear to be, in some cases, chocolate, and in some cases, wildly painted.
And in some cases, both.
Yeah, so that confuses me. Whenever I ask people to explain the rabbit giving out eggs, nobody can give me a really good answer. I've tried to research the problem, but I haven't found an answer that makes sense to me. Anyway, anybody who's celebrating the rabbit egg thing, have fun with that. I'm going to sit in the woods and eat horrible food. And last year I did a nice tech project, so maybe I'll do one this year.
In the woods?
Yes.
All right, well, if you don't have anything else to do.
By the way, once again, in a building in the woods, I am not sitting literally in the forest for a week. I am sitting in a building surrounded by trees. Anyway, with no cell phone service. But there's Wi-Fi. Anyway, so last year I thought I had a nice tech project, so I usually, during the course of that time, have at least one tech thing that I try to do. So we'll see if that is something I can talk about on the show, if it actually works out. If it fails, I might not talk about it. So there was some news this week. Apparently, Android Q will disable the install unknown apps permission after each use. So instead of being able to install whatever app you want, after you click that permission, it will only work for one app, and then you will have to turn it on again.
Yes, but they do make it easy to turn on each time.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate the safety measure.
Yes, I like it.
Although it may be annoying if you've installed a third-party store, such as, let's say, F-Droid.
Yes, because then you'll have to do it every time.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're not a Google Play user or a Amazon store user, then Yeah, that could, I could say, is this anti-free market? Is this making it annoying for those that don't want to use Google or Amazon?
Well, this is sort of the long-standing question, and it comes up a lot in Q. One of the focuses of Android Q appears from what they're doing to be continuing to harden permissions by
Yes.
taking away ones that are too broad and by implementing new APIs that may be a little more controlled. Now, to
Yes.
some degree, that just annoys people because now they can't do what they used to do.
Yep.
And it actually relates to the next one, which is scoped storage in Android Q will remove permissions for apps writing to their own files, which means that every app will have a dedicated directory they're allowed to write to, but they'll will not be able to write to other app folders. And there'll be special permissions for audio, images, and video folders.
I wonder how this is going to work out for file managers.
That is the question, isn't it?
Because it's not only the file permission, there is no access all of the files. There is the access permissions come down to media, or not media, but yeah, media, photos, and one other.
Well, there are a few things, and I was reading the comments on this Android Police story that I linked here to try to sort of get a sense of that. There will be a, by default,
Audio, images, and video. That's what it
yeah,
is.
also there'll be a permission that removes EXIF data from images when apps try to access them unless they have the access media location permission.
Sure, because wow, that just I that one just annoys me.
Yeah, well, that already happens to me.
So, unless you're you can have an app, they can access your pictures, but unless it has an extra permission, which is access media location, it will not be able to access the EXIF information. Even if there's no geographic, even if there's no GPS tagging in the EXIF data, you still won't be able to get to it. Which is just, I don't know, I find it annoying.
But I was reading the comments on this,
Mm-hmm.
and I was looking for discussions of the file manager concern from people who were looking at this. So, if you read this notations here, one person comments, "All file managers are dead."
Yep. Without root. Yep.
Well,
Seems like a fair assessment.
again, why are you browsing the app file? I could understand if you have this sort of request to browse more of the data sections. So I want to browse, my the folders that have things that I installed, but I can understand why they want to keep you away from the apps.
Because my phone, I want to see my files.
So maybe that again needs more permissions, but
But I guess if I were to have that argument, I would probably root it.
I understand. But the question is, what do you need to see outside of files that you're attempting to work with? Again, I'll sort of accept that you may want to go and get access to app data, but what are you going to do with that app data?
Well, okay, so I see audio, images, and video.
And I
What
think download
about
downloads are
doc?
I think downloads are also one.
What about things like documents?
Okay,
Or
so documents, for one, if you have an application, it should be able to access its own data, which would include documents. So the problem is,
right.
what if you want to extract that data?
Or if I have a PDF reader.
And again, there are some limitations they're going to have to work through. But I understand why they would say we were a little too open with the permissions that you can access everything. We need to separate data from private information that we don't want people to be able to extract for security purposes. So maybe they've gone a little farther than we'd like them to, but I think that they're trying to go in the right direction, which is you don't get free range of your operating system.
I just find it interesting that there is no access read all file system
Yeah, but
permission.
how can you trust that one? I'm not saying there probably shouldn't be. I'm just saying that permissions are a very dangerous thing.
Well, without that, you have an entire class of applications that are no longer feasible.
Again, it may be something that has to be thought out. Again, it is still a beta. They may have a solution to this problem.
Maybe they do.
And maybe they'll just mess all of us up.
But I, considering their previous behaviors, I'm kind of lean towards they don't care.
I'm sure they care. They just think that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Pish posh. Respect the minority.
I wonder what would have happened if that line came up in Star Trek.
I think that's kind of against Star Trek's philosophy.
I don't
remember,
know.
Star Trek is communist.
I still haven't followed the new show.
Discovery or Orville?
Orville is not Star Trek. Admittedly, it sort of is from somebody who clearly appreciated The Next Generation and is trying to reproduce sort of aesthetic.
Some argue that it is more Star Trek than Discovery.
I can see that.
I watched them both, and they both have their points.
I have watched Orville, but I have not decided to give money to the people at CBS in order to watch the program.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You're telling me that you gave money to CBS to watch the program?
Nope.
Okay, so you found an alternative methodology.
I'm an alternative methodology type of guy.
You left the United States because outside of the United States you can watch it on Netflix?
No.
Okay. Then
I do VPN, but never for Netflix.
You bought the Blu-ray box set?
No.
Okay, then I probably don't want to know. I'm assuming that I've run out of legal options.
Not at all.
You go over to a friend's house and watch with them, and they paid?
No.
Okay, at some point you'll have to tell me how you acquired a program that costs money without paying any money. Free coupon?
Okay. Nope.
Free trial?
I'm just saying I'm not always the most legal person.
Okay, that's why I said extra legal means. Okay, Google Voice now works limitedly with Android Auto.
Limitedly, you say?
Yes, apparently you can't do everything you can do with some other messaging apps. Although right now I can't do anything. Whenever I select that I'd like to reply to a message since I put in the new phone, it says that I have to do something in order to make that work, and it doesn't explain what it is I have to do. And I haven't really felt the need to send a message with my voice, so I haven't really...
Does it literally say you need to do something?
It's very unclear about what you need to do. It actually says you need to press something, and I thought I did press it, so...
Directions unclear.
Yes.
Phone went out the window.
No, phone sits on seat. Unless passenger in car, in which case phone sits somewhere other than seat.
I have one of those magnetic mounts that goes into the CD player. I love it.
Oh, I had one of those when they ripped out my CD player. They finally got it out of there because it had been stuck in there for 3 years. But right now, since I don't need to access the phone while I'm driving, the phone could actually be in the glove compartment. It just has to be plugged into the cable hooked into the Android Auto system. I haven't found a really nice place to sort of put it, though. I still haven't forgiven the person who upgraded my car for sticking the wire that actually controls it into the glove compartment so that it has to go across the passenger seat and charging me $80 for the privilege, but that's a whole other
story. Ooh.
Keyboard button / remapper is a free app to remap volume, Asian, and other buttons. So I saw this and I thought it was an interesting app if you don't like what your buttons do.
Cool. I like it. I'm not going to use it. I like my buttons, but
do you like what
freedom and options is awesome.
And EasyDND apparently tries to make do not disturb settings more accessible and friendly for people who have trouble understanding.
Which is good.
So it is a nice app with big buttons that sort of explains what settings you are making and then sets them.
Especially since they dumbed down do not disturb quite a bit in the last couple versions.
Yeah, but the only time I ever use it is when I'm working. Or when I'm recording a podcast.
Oh, mine comes on every night. As a matter of fact, I believe I'm in Do Not Disturb right now because I'm Do Not Disturb because it's after 10.
Yeah, I just have to figure out one Do Not Disturb thing that keeps annoying.
What's that?
My brother likes to send me news articles in the middle of the night when he can't. I don't know how to specifically say that I want to not be disturbed in the middle of the night by one specific person. I'm fine with reading them. I just feel like, that reading an article is something I could do in the morning, whereas if there's an emergency, I would want to know about it in the middle. I haven't really gone down and dug into sort of customization.
So the way it works is when Do Not Disturb is on, people who are your favorites, contacts that you have favorited, they will be able to, whenever they send a message or call you, it'll come on through.
Yeah,
and make noise.
The problem is one of the people who on that list is my brother, a person who I don't want that to happen to. So what you're telling me is
unfavorite him.
I should unfavorite my brother. What if there's an emergency? What if one of my
tell him he needs to call you twice. If he calls you twice, it will override the do not disturb and go through.
He doesn't call me. He just sends me text messages.
Well, if it's an emergency, he'll call you.
It's never an emergency, but it could be. Anyway, moving along, voice proximity detection on the Google Home is flawed. Now, I have this problem. I have a Google Home Mini in my bathroom. I tell it to play something while I am showering, you know, like the news or music.
Yes.
And sometimes, for some incomprehensible reason, when I do that, somehow the one in the other room goes off, even though they're not near each other.
I wonder if it has to do with Echo.
Yeah, but it's supposed to figure out which one you're actually closest to and activate on that one.
And this surprises me that this is difficult, because one would think that volume would be a sufficient indicator, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's something besides volume or quality of voice.
Yeah, and that was sort of the thing that the person writing this article maintained, which is it's not working for them either. I thought it was just me. I have enough problems with one other little voice assistant problem that annoyed me on the Echo and is now annoying me on the Home.
Yes.
When I want it to play a song where the language of the title of the song is not English, it tries to interpret what I am saying in English and therefore gives me the wrong song. So I really wish there was a way to say that this is not a word that you're going to understand. Just process it phonetically. Don't try to. So I've tried spelling it out. I've tried. You know, so I need a keyword that says this is not English. Don't try to turn it into English. So that the next time I'm trying to get into the upcoming spirit of the holidays and telling it to play Passover music and giving it titles in Hebrew, that it doesn't actually go and try to give me rap music. Although I'm sure somewhere out there is a Passover rap song, but I've never heard it.
Hmm.
So I don't know how to solve that problem. I'm sure that this is not just a problem.
I don't run into that problem.
How often do you tell your voice assistant to play something in, let's say, Spanish, which I know you speak?
Rather frequently.
So it speaks Spanish, but I guess it doesn't speak other languages. Do you say anything before it?
Yeah.
What?
The standard, you know,
play this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know who I'd even ask if there's like a keyword to do that, or if there could be.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think I just have to keep experimenting. I got to the point where I'm just, you know, playing it out of my phone and telling it to cast to the device, but that's just another step. What's the point of having a voice assistant if it doesn't understand some of the things you're saying? Then sometimes I have to deliberately mispronounce things once I figure out what it will respond to.
Yep. I've run into that, yes.
It doesn't call you Jeer, does it?
No. Actually, it pronounces my name correctly. I have noticed that I had to tell Google that Christina was my wife so that I could say things like, you know, show me pictures of my wife, because when I say show me pictures of Christina, and you can see it, especially on the Google Home Hub, you know, where it pops up the words as it understands them.
Yeah.
And it would be show me pictures of, and then it would, when I said Christina, it would show Christina without the H, which is my wife. And then it would change that to the H. And then it would show me pictures of like Christina Aguilera. So I had to.
So what you're saying is that your Google Home thinks you are an obsessive fan of Christina Aguilera.
Apparently, but now when I tell it, show me pictures of my wife, it knows who that is and it shows me the right pictures.
I'll have to try that. I've never actually told it to show me pictures of a person.
Well, when you set up the Google Home Hub, you can tell it to show, your pictures from your library.
Yeah, I just tell it to show random ones from my library, so I see all sorts of weird stuff I've taken over the years.
Right, well, you can tell it. Well, when I did it, popped up with a grid of a bunch of pictures of different people and asked me, you know, who did I want that particular Home Hub to show pictures of? And I select, you know, my wife, my daughter, my dogs. And so it knows who's in the pictures.
Yeah. Which is a whole other conversation. But.
And it's creepy good at figuring out who's in pictures. I have seen it identify, you know, pictures will show up and of my wife where you can barely see her face and she's sideways and, you know, a lot of her face. It's creepy good at figuring out who's in a picture.
Well, I'll have to give it a shot. I happen to have an unused Lenovo Smart Display. It is not mine to use, but I can borrow it to play with some new things, or I could just use the one I have here, but then I'm going to end up with pictures of your wife, and that would be weird.
Have you heard of the Google Home Mac or the Google Home Hub Max?
I have been told that it is a really big Google Hub.
They say 10.1 inches. The screen will be 10.1
And
inches.
with a camera this time. So there were a bunch of Google leaks where they showed some devices briefly on the Google website before realizing that they weren't supposed to show those yet and taking them down.
Yep. I'm excited about it.
You
My
like big
wife,
screens.
well, I do, yes, but for my wife, she hates the minis, but she loves the Home Hub. And I think it's because what she uses it most for is she listens to YouTube videos in the background. And if she's downstairs and she says, play something from YouTube, it won't play on a mini, even though it could just play the audio, but they don't do that. So she hears the video start playing upstairs. So she just doesn't use it, the minis at all. So I want to get her a Max for the kitchen. I think she would enjoy that.
Okay. Well, when it comes out, we'll see what the pricing is.
I'm scared it's going to be like $500.
Yep. Also, there's supposedly going to be a Pixel 3a and a Pixel 3a XL, and possibly there may be talk about a Pixel 4, who knows? But I'll believe it when I see it.
And this is all supposed to happen in October.
Hard to tell. The 4, probably yes. If there's a variant of the 3, that might happen earlier because that's a new product. So it supposedly might be a budget version of the 3 where with lesser specs. So I'll be happy if Google starts going back into the phones that don't cost $800.
Yes.
I like my Nexus 5X.
I think phones are just going to continue to get more expensive. It won't be long before there is a $3,000 phone.
It's always possible. Also, in preparation for an upcoming trip, I have decided to upgrade my travel router.
To what?
Well, the company that I bought the last one from it's GLINET. So I got this on Amazon. So I bought their upgraded model, which is a 750M gigabit travel router. So it supposedly is a wireless AC, not just the older standard of N. So instead of only having one Ethernet port, it has two. So one, it has an input and two optional outputs. It has a micro SD card slot in the event that you want to put a card in so that you could run it as a DLNA server. It has built-in VPN and a USB port, and it's powered off of a micro USB cable. And it's about the size of a deck of playing cards. So I have an upcoming trip where I will be staying in a hotel, and I was going to use it.
Neat.
Well, the other one, while it still does work, I've been having some trouble, and this one has 5 gigahertz as well as 2.4. So, in theory, I could go and connect to hotel Wi-Fi on 2.4 gigahertz and then broadcast a 5 gigahertz network within the room to put my device on.
Do the Ethernet ports ever work?
In hotels?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I
Not
have to
all of them.
try that.
Well, no, it depends on the hotel. For example, I was in a hotel recently, let me think, where they didn't have any, so I had to use that. But the hotel before that had, when I was in Austin, there wasn't, they had Wi-Fi, but there was also an Ethernet cable by the desk. So I was able to get Internet directly off of that. I got Ethernet directly when I was in Manila.
Is it when there is an Ethernet port,
Yeah.
do you have you tried the wireless? Is there a performance difference?
Sometimes, yes. Usually the Ethernet's a little more reliable only because of the saturation in terms of the fact that there are a lot of people using Wi-Fi in a hotel. Not necessarily because of the speed, because I assume it's the same network. And I'm sure somebody's made a study of this. I'm gonna have to look. But it's a good thing to be able to do. Also, one of the other advantages is there is a little more security in a wire than there is in wireless, even if the network on the other side is insecure. But
Sure, and if
why I
you're
bought it.
using your router, you have more control over.
Well, everything's inside a firewall that's inside the router.
Yeah.
And also, I only have to connect to the portal once. I hate those portals.
How do you connect to the portal?
You log into the device that's logged into the router, you go there and it will redirect to the portal. You'll log in and then it'll record the MAC address of the router, not the MAC address of the individual devices. So it'll whitelist you.
Cool.
And other than that, I continue to try to do some home automation upgrades. I have, I got my door back online because that fell off. It's a Zigbee door.
It still sounds funny.
A Zigbee door is funny?
That you got your door online.
Well, you know how some of these devices, and that's the problem I have with Zigbee and Z-Wave, even though they're reliable in terms of their ability to not use very much power and last a long time on battery, they tend to drop off my network entirely too much. So as a result, I've stopped using it for switches, but I've used it a lot still for sensors, where I don't need the sensor to be plugged in. Mm-hmm. So all of my door sensors are Zigbee at the moment. They were Z-Wave, but I was having trouble, so I switched. So I was able to get the front door to my apartment back online. Oh, no, it's saying unavailable again. Darn.
Ha! Guess not.
Things happen.
They do.
Oddly enough, the one connected to my bedroom door is working solidly, so that's a different brand, so maybe I should use that one on the front door. But I have one on my bedroom door because I want to do some things with the lights in regards to whether or not the door is open. And I've done some experiments with that, but I haven't quite gotten the combination of automations right. That's always the challenge, to get the pieces connected the way you want them to, in terms of behavior. And we're getting into the spring season, which means I'm going to have to bring my air conditioning system back online. I use generic thermostats built into Home Assistant that control through-the-wall sleeve air conditioners. Works surprisingly well.
I'm sure it does.
But that is what I've been up to. Have you been up to any new and exciting home-related projects?
My work will just not let me go, which is, when we hang up here, what I'm going to do. Back to work.
Yeah, I may do that on the weekend. I fall behind whenever I'm busy. But I decided it was one of those days where I just needed to not do something for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take my work computer home from work. I often do.
I understand. Of course, my work starts at home, so...
Yeah, so you can't deliberately leave your work computer at the office in order to avoid the temptation to actually use it.
Yep.
As I said, works for me sometimes. Anyway, I will be back next week.
Hey, I will too.
And the week after that, I will be coming in from a remote location in the woods.
Remote in the woods.
The week after that is the first I will be here recording. And then the week after is the 8th, I'll probably be here too. So I don't think I have anything planned for the coming weeks that would prevent me from recording the show.
Excellent. Nor I.
So if anybody has any suggestions, now that you once again have heard all the places you can contact us, this is a
challenge. Contact us!
Well, this is a challenge because even the door-to-door geek who sent the suggestion is still welcome to contact us about other things.
He is?
Isn't he?
I don't know. Sure. Yes, he is. Yes, you are. Everybody is.
That's good. So until next time.
Until next time, folks. Bye.
Goodbye.